Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus Christ. Our services are online every Sunday at 10 o'clock. You can find them on our YouTube channel. You can also find more information about us at gotothewell.church or find us on Facebook. And remember, you are loved.
Home, make some noise, make your neighbors wonder, man, how much candy did they eat last night? We want you to kind of get moving, get your blood flowing, because there's a word that God wants to speak today. Jacob, do you mind grabbing that table for me? And actually the chair. Oh, Aaron's going to grab it. Woo! She's pretty and strong. No, she's very strong, believe me. She puts up with me on daily. Thank you, Jacob. Man, so excited to be with you here all today. I love seeing the interaction and the comments. Keep it coming. Let us know where you're joining us from. I know we have a new family joining us from Brookings, Oregon. We are so excited that you are with us here this morning. This is something I know about the Pacific Northwest. They are the home of the Seattle Seahawks. And so you are more favored by God. You are more loved by God. God's favorite two colors are green and blue. The beautiful forest of the Pacific Northwest, beautiful blue skies, and of course, our Seahawks. So welcome to you. God loves you and has an incredible plan for your life. And it's just so cool having all of you with us. I want to make sure I pull you all up here on the chat. If you can't chat with us, that's okay. Just let us know that you're here somehow. Just, you know, just shout all the way from where you're at. That way we know that you're there. And of course, you can always like and subscribe to this video. This is a way that we increase our presence in the algorithm of Google to reach more people. I know you never thought we would have to say that, but here we are. So, today's going to be fun. Are you guys ready? Nobody's ready. In this room, I'm going to depend on you today. Carrie Ann, are you ready?
Yes!
Thank you, Carrie Ann. The smallest person in this room makes the loudest noise. I love it. Woo, okay. We are talking about a series called Crazy, and how appropriate is that in this season? Like I said earlier, man, Dodgers won the World Series. I know many of you are excited. I'm an Angels and Mariners fan, but I can recognize good leadership and persistence. So congratulations to all you Dodger fans out there. You earned and deserved this one. I see camera two over there going, yeah! and that was just, what, Tuesday? I feel like this week has gone on and on and on. There's been lots of just craziness, and it's not going to get any less crazy. Elections coming up on Tuesday. So who knows what Wednesday will look like. But what's cool about this whole thing, we have a God who does not operate in panic. He does not operate in hearsay. He operates in truth. In fact, he even claims that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that whoever follows him will experience eternal life. So even as we jump in, is if knowing that he is the way, the truth, and the life, where is your heart lining up with him? Can you recognize that there is always going to be different information from all different places, but we can always rely on the truth that is Christ? We can rely on that. We're moving from conspiracy to courage, because God has not called us as believers to be afraid, scared, and wondering what is going to happen, but he's called us to be people of courage and of love, and that whether you're wearing a mask or you're participating in social distancing, that is not an act of fear, that's just putting your seatbelt on. That is an act of faith, recognizing that we have an incredible opportunity here to share the love of Jesus through the way that we interact with people on a daily basis. So we recognize that Jesus promised conspiracies. He promised this craziness that's going to happen around us. None of this catches God by surprise. So it really shouldn't catch any of you or I by surprise. We've been looking at a few churches in the book of Revelation, and we looked at Ephesus, to God, Jesus telling them, love people again, return to your first love. That means to love people again. Smyrna, to be faithful. Pergamum, to discern. Thyatira, God says that sin will have consequences, no matter how much we don't like it. Last week, we talked about Sardis and Laodicea and the importance of us becoming obsessed with Jesus. I'm talking obsessed with Jesus. I'm talking junior high, love struck, just obsessed. I'm going to follow. I'm going to walk around, not stalking, but obsessed kind of love for Jesus. Obsessed with Jesus. And this is important because right there's a little church that we kind of skipped last week between Sardis and Laodicea called Philadelphia. Now, this is not the Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. There is no Liberty Bell in this Philadelphia. There is no Rocky in this Philadelphia. There is no Philly cheesesteak. Okay, maybe there might be, but this is Philadelphia was in modern-day Turkey now. And so I want to make sure we have this up and going, and that way we can have that for you. But here what we are going to learn from the church in Philadelphia is that our power as a church, as the church, does not come from our politics, does not come from our position. Our power within the church comes from our faithfulness to Jesus. Yeah, I know, I said the politic word. And you're going, uh-oh, here we go. Here we go. Before we jump into this verse in Revelation, I want to tell you a little bit about this church in Philadelphia, this city in Philadelphia. It's a relatively prosperous small city. This is a small city, small church. Like I mentioned before, 17 AD, there was a devastating earthquake that just hit all across the Turkey area. I know just recently there's been some earthquakes there. And instead of Rome coming in and saying, hey, we're going to help you financially. I know you're part of our empire. We're going to financially rebuild your city. They said, no, this is what we're going to do. They got political about it. Surprise, surprise, politicians getting political, okay? They said, you don't have to pay your taxes for 5 years. But we're not going to help you rebuild your city. Wait, great. Now you're not going to collect taxes, so now we don't have the money to come together in order to rebuild this thing. So there started some resentment toward their government, some frustration, and they don't live in the United States where we can just revolt every 4 years in the way we vote. Caesar, whatever Caesar says, that's what's going to happen. You didn't have representation. You didn't have a ballot. You had keep your mouth shut and do what you're told. Very different context than what we are used to. So they felt very neglected, and it very much turned into a feeling of betrayal. Their economics was mainly vineyards. So think of Napa Valley or Temecula or that kind of area where they just had tons of vineyards of olives and fruits and all sorts of different things. What they did see is as Rome continued to build, especially after the earthquake, people were now focused on rebuilding their city and not so much tending to their vineyard. Rome was getting frustrated that their shipments were on time. The Amazon Prime was not working from Philadelphia. And so what Rome decided to do, they ordered the vineyards closer to Rome open and start planting so that they can have faster delivery. We haven't changed much as a people, have we? And so they do this, and thus the economy begins to fall in Philadelphia, then adds to the betrayal and the bitterness that they're feeling toward the Roman government. So you have this already built into the society of frustration and bitterness, and like, whose side are you on? Are you a left or are you a right? Are you with Rome or against Rome? Are you with us or against us? So there's already this crazy amount of division that's happening just within the culture of the city. Now you throw the Christian church in here. Now, this area is very highly Jewish population, and everything is connected to the synagogue, everything. So with you, in order to do business in Philadelphia, you had to belong to a synagogue. And when you walked into a synagogue, your name was written on a book that represented that you were a part of a synagogue. And so in order to do business, and they would ask, oh, what synagogue do you go to? What rabbi do you sit under? Oh, I'm on the book of this place. I'm on the book of this synagogue. I'm on the book of this temple. I'm here. Oh, okay, cool. You're one of us. We can do business together. We can have community together, right? Doesn't that sound so good until you're not in the community? Until you start saying, hey, Jesus is the Messiah. Wait, what? Jesus is the Messiah. He's a promised one that was promised to us from even the book of Genesis and on and on. And they go, oh, you're not welcome in the synagogue. Let me take your name out of the book. And so now you went to go do business, and it's like, oh, what synagogue do you belong to? I don't belong to one. Oh, you're not one of us then. Which continues to add to the betrayal, adds to this feeling of not being a part. They were off. They began to get kicked out of Jewish synagogues. And it's more, and like I mentioned, it's not just being kicked out of a building. It's your name was no longer in the book. You didn't belong. It's like, I've never experienced this, but maybe you've ever got kicked out of a country club. Or, you know, you're like Pam from The Office, you got kicked out of Chili's. Or you've ever been like told you're no longer welcome here. Imagine knowing that every time you drive by a place, wait a minute. Some of you have done that. You've gone to churches that you have been kicked out of. And you go, oh, we're not welcome there. Oh, we haven't grown much as a people, have we? See, there was a protection that happened when you were a part of the community. And when these Christian believers start professing that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the Christ, the coming that he is the Messiah who will come again, you are no longer allowed to be a part of this community. You have lost rights. You have lost your social life. You have lost everything because your name is no longer in the book of a synagogue. This is the context where Jesus speaks to John in Revelation chapter 3 and says, let's talk to the church of Philadelphia. It's interesting, you're going to learn, you're going to recognize that this is the only church that Jesus does not say, I have this against you. Isn't it easier to learn what to do right than what it is to do wrong? So we get to learn about a church who's doing something right. It says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. Remember, this is a people, this is a group that they've had the synagogue door shut in their face. And Jesus continues to speak. He says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door. Come on now. Which no one is able to shut. Every other door has been shut in your face, but Jesus, no, he opens a door that no one can shut. I know that you have but little power, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet. They will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the world, on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall I go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven on our new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Your name isn't just going to be on a book. Your name's going to be on me. There is going to be no door that shuts in front of you. And so this is a network of small churches that Jesus is telling them, you are small, but you are powerful. You are small, yet you are powerful. And there is always a temptation when you are small and you feel powerless that you have to do things in order to get around the powerful. And what happens is in order to do that, we compromise our faith. We compromise our truth. We forfeit love in order to be right or to be in right standing with the right people. Because it would be easy to say, well, I don't want to lose my business. No, I don't really believe that Jesus is Lord. I'm still part of your synagogue. But I'll just kind of be a closet Christian over here. Our temptation will always to seek political, popular, and prosperity power to replace our feeling of powerlessness. So number one, write this down. I hope you're ready. You ready yet? Our power will come from our ability to be faithful amongst the chaos. So number one, write this down. The church is never powerless. The church is never powerless. See, our favor does not come from being in favor or out of favor with our governing authorities. That's not where our power comes from. Our power does not come from a seat at the table. Well, not that table. The church will move no matter who's elected, because God is the one who directs our steps. The church moved and thrived under Trump. The church moved and thrived under Obama. The church thrived under both the Bushes. The church thrived and moved under Clinton. The church thrived and moved under Hoover. The church thrived and moved over under Truman, because we're not under them. We're under Christ. We are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our power comes from our ability to love our enemies in order to walk in unity with each other. You can stand on our truth. We need to stand in our truth. We need to stand up for those who don't have a voice. We have to stand for those who are unborn. We have to stand for those who have crossed a border. We have to stand for those who don't have a voice. There is truth. But if you forfeit love for truth, you've lost. Our power does not come from if you're a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian, or whatever that peace and freedom thing in Kanye West. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Our fight isn't against them. Our fight isn't against people standing on the street waving flags, or if it's rainbow flags or Biden flags or Trump flags or I don't know what other flag there is. Our battle's not against them. Our mission is to love them. Our mission is to listen to them. Our mission is to come and bring the year of the Lord's favor upon them through the rescuing of Jesus Christ. See, we don't... I believe it's in Mark, and Jesus is speaking over Peter. And Peter just messed up, by the way. Peter just betrayed Christ and insulted him, but it's okay. Jesus is a coach, not a critic, so he came in and helped him out because he's invested in him. And he says, hey, Peter, guess what? And Peter's like, oh, great, here comes another thing. What did I do wrong? No. You are the rock in which I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to stand against them. Now, gates are a defensive thing. The gates of hell will not prevail against the advancement of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not on the defense. Right. Satan is. Right. Satan is terrified of believers who are more interested and obsessed with Jesus than their political party. Because then you can have conversations with both. Does your actions... Would that welcome a supporter from both sides and know that they are loved at the end of the conversation? The church does not come powerless. The church comes powerful because it is our opportunity, like I said, to love our enemies and then walk in unity with everybody, with our friends. Our power comes from choosing as individuals and as a faith community to love and to serve and not to dominate one another. This is our constant struggle. It's going to be always a struggle. No one's got it perfected, but we always want our opinion over the other. We do. It's the smallest thing of what do you want for lunch, and then what's your political affiliation? Or I saw it with trick or treating yesterday. We went to a really awesome social distance trunk or treat, and I saw this within my own kids. I saw this within myself. Going, all right, which candy do I want? Well, make sure they don't get it, so I get it. Man, if you don't know you're sinful, look in the mirror for 2 seconds, please. We are sinful people. We need Jesus. But we always want to dominate, but we're here to serve one another. And I'm always clicking on the chat here just to see if the picket lines are coming. Number two, faithfulness to his word is greater than our politics. Now, I understand I might jump around a little bit here today because, come on, we're all doing it. Our faithfulness to his word is greater than our politics. My question here, and I literally have to sit and stare into this camera right now. And so if it feels a little aggressive, I apologize. That's not my heart. And I know I understand if you're looking individually. Anyway, I'm told never to look into the camera, but I'm going to do it today, right now. Hi. We have to seek his kingdom. We have to seek his kingdom. Whether your nominee, no, they're not called nominees, this isn't the Grammys. Gosh. Your candidate, there we go, doesn't win. You now have an opportunity to love at a greater level, to serve at a greater level. If your candidate does win on Tuesday, you have a greater opportunity to love and to serve. I don't care who's in charge. This letter was written to a man who was in exile from his government under an actual authoritarian rule. Paul writes to pray for our government and to submit to our government while his government's trying to kill him. Can we seek the kingdom of God? And all this will be added unto you. We need to vocalize our biblical values. We need to fight for our biblical values. But fighting looks very different in the kingdom of God than it does on earth. See, when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter drew a sword like the cool guy that he is, and chopped the guy's ear off. And all of us Americans are like, yeah! Get him! And Jesus says, no, you missed the point. Picks up the guy's ear and heals it. That's what Jesus does. When the Pharisees come and start questioning Jesus about, should you pay taxes to Caesar? Are you trying to stir up the government? Are you trying to bring in a rebellion? And he says, man, yeah, pay your taxes. Belongs to Caesar anyway. Oh. Jesus, you're going to come and ride into Jerusalem on a mighty steed with a giant sword. I'll take that little donkey right there. That looks good. The kingdom of God is always going to look different than your kingdom. That's why we seek it. That's why we search after it. But the good news, know that the kingdom of God has an open door for you. It has an open door for me. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, see, that kingdom of God doesn't say, you know, stand in front of your enemy and wave a different flag. That kingdom of God says that you love your enemy. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Just, I put this in our Connect Group questionnaire for this week. Read Matthew chapter 5. They're called the Beatitudes. And you will be convicted. You will be encouraged. You will give up. You will want to keep going. And you recognize how much, now let me rephrase it. You're going to recognize why the importance of being obsessed with Jesus. Because he's the only one that's going to teach you how to do this. Are we in our word more than we are with Fox News? Are we in our word more than we are with CNN? I'm not saying shut out the world. Please don't do that. We need to be light into the world. But we need to actually be the light and not just add to the darkness. Will you choose to be pure in heart? Will you choose to seek right living and being willing to be persecuted because of it? I love this. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. I love this because I didn't realize this until I was studying this week, but this is a letter that John wrote to a woman pastor leader. And I just wanted to shout out to all my lady pastors. You are phenomenal. You are called. You are anointed. You are set apart. You are here to preach God's word. Sorry, I just want to shout that out. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as they were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one that we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. That is the commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. We cannot sacrifice or compromise his word for your opinion. Your opinion cannot, if your opinion is causing you to love somebody less, change your opinion and come back to the word. This is love. See why we need to be obsessed with Jesus? This is hard. I thought of several other adjectives and nouns to follow that, but I'm not going to. This is hard. The gospel is lived out when we marry love with truth. Because without love, your truth means nothing. Paul says you're a clanging cymbal without love. And number three. I can't do this one for you, by the way. It's not up to you. I can't do this one for you. And this is the great thing. As my job is as a pastor, as a shepherd, as someone that gets to come here and be with you, my job isn't to point you to a political candidate. My job is to point you to Jesus. Because he's my king. He's already elected. He's already been appointed. He's already been anointed. So that's what I want to do. It's not out of lack of courage. It's not out of a lack of concern or a lack of values. I, like every other American, is going to cast my vote. But my privilege, my job, my calling is to point you to the King of Kings. Not to a temporary person. And so number three, I want you to do this. Number three, write this down. Walk with Jesus when things get difficult. See, Jesus tells the people of the Church of Philadelphia, says, hold fast. Hold fast, don't deny me. Hold fast, don't deny me. Well, how do we deny Christ? We deny Christ by walking away when things get stale. I just don't feel God anymore. Things are just too complicated in society, so that means that I'm going to walk away from Jesus. When things get difficult, when they get unpopular. I just think it's still the funniest thing that Christians get such bad raps for things that we've been fighting for centuries, like civil rights, like equal rights, like women in leadership, like treating people kindly and not using people to get ahead, not to sleep your way to the top or taking advantage of people on the casting couch in order to get them the job they want in Hollywood. This isn't new. The Christian church has been ridiculed and criticized about it for centuries. And we're saying walk in purity. Even what's unpopular, or simply this is the biggest thing. Us as Americans, man, we can just do this. We can do a whole series on this. The number one thing that takes people away from Jesus is that they get busy. We just get busy. And we use it and excuse, I just didn't have time. As if you're not responsible for your time. Walk with Jesus. When things get difficult, when they get stale, when they get unpopular, walk with Jesus when things become busy. It's literally, I have experiences, I get lost constantly. When I drive, I get deep in thought and I'm like, how am I in Riverside? Like, how did I get here? Like, I'm not exaggerating. It's true. But this is what we do. I'm lost, so I'm going to turn my GPS off. And I'm going to figure it out. That's what we do with Jesus. Hey, Jesus, things are hard. Things are difficult. Things are just really busy right now. So I'm going to turn you off, put you aside, and I'm going to come back when I figured it all out. I love in Psalm 23, and one of our, I believe it was Sheila or Amanda who spoke this verse at our women's conference, and I absolutely love it. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of confusion, of frustration, of staleness, of bitterness, of a political season, of COVID, of rioting, of racial unrest, over you fill in the blank, whatever that shadow has been, I will fear no evil, not because you are strong, not because you are powerful, not because you've got it figured out, for you are with me. You and your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You're fearful, you're frustrated, you don't know what tomorrow's going to look like, you don't know what Wednesday's going to look like. But if you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, can I encourage you to do it with Jesus? You know why we walk with Jesus through the valley of the shadow of death? He walked it, he conquered it, and he came back. He's been there, done that. Okay? Been there, done that. So I want to encourage you with this last bit. We're going to take a moment to worship a little bit, and then we get to just send you off into the world and go be of the light and all those fun things, okay? Is you're going to face closed doors in your life, and they're going to affect your social life. They're going to affect your businesses. But standing with Christ, you will always have an open door. And this is what his open door looks like. It's actually a seat at the table. The communion table. We're going to read on later on in Revelation. This is called the banquet table. This is Revelation when Jesus comes back. You know, you have the wedding, the bride of Christ, and now it's time to reception. That's when the party goes off. That's when you have that Mamba slide song that plays. That's where your crazy Aunt Sally's out there doing all sorts of nonsense. Like, the reception is where the party's at. And that party, that reception is where Jesus says, you have an open door and a seat at the table. So, Aaron, can you hand me my communion stuff? If you're in the courtyard, if you're at home, grab your communion stuff. If you're here in the sanctuary. By the way, I just want to do the shout out real quick as you're grabbing your communion stuff. All the directing of all the cameras that's happening today, all of our media, all the lyrics and the points and the scriptures that you're seeing today, and the lighting today is all done by high school and junior high students. Come on now. They're being trained, they're being released, they're doing all these things that teach huge foundational skills as they go out into their world and fulfill their calling. But how cool is that? I just had to brag about that. That was just so cool. See, the Christians of the church in Philadelphia, not only did they have good works, but they were faithful. Jesus says this about them. I know that you have but little power. Even yet, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Well, as we come before the communion table, this is what's awesome about the communion table. We read it through the Gospels. That throughout communion, as he washed his disciples' feet, as he said that you will partake of this meal with me again in heaven, and all those things is that there were those who were going to be faithful to Jesus till the end, and there was one who had already betrayed him, who did not hold on to Christ. Jesus didn't kick him off the table. See, Jesus is willing to wait and leave a seat at the table for every single person who's just willing to say, Jesus, you're Lord. And he's even willing to wait till the last minute for you. So as we partake of bread, for me, it's goldfish crackers. I want you to be reminded that his body was broken for you, that he has faced the darkness with you and for you, and he's ready and willing to walk with you again. His body's broken, so yours doesn't have to be. So would you just take a moment, and would you eat of the bread and be reminded of his body that was broken for you and I? Now I invite you to take the juice that represents the blood of the new covenant. It represents new life, new seasons, power, peace, relationship with the Father, ability to have relationship with other believers. Would you partake of the drink? Remember that God is always up to a new thing in you. And maybe today was the first time you got to sit at the, that you didn't know that God had an open door for you, and that you were sitting at the table with Jesus. And all it takes is you saying yes to Jesus for the very first time. Romans tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not complicated. God isn't a complicated dating relationship. He simply says, here, my door is open. No one can shut it. No one can tell me what to do. I love you. Deal with it. And all you have to do is walk in and say, I want to be a part of that love. And if that's you today, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I want to discover your love, your grace, and you for the first time today. I am far from you and want to be brought near to you. Thank you for dying for my sins, so that I can have an abundant life. Lead me all the days of my life and teach me to display your love to those around me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's celebrate those give make that decision today. If that was you, you can respond in the chat. If you're out there in the courtyard, Andrea is out there that you can connect with, and she can get you all the information. And again, if you're at home, let us know in the chat. Send us an email, whatever you can, and let us know, because now we want to be on this journey with you. And maybe today you are, and I think this is important, so if you're in the courtyard, you're in here, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to stand to your feet, because I believe we need the wisdom, we need the discernment, we need the peace, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit today. And so right where you are, would you just lift your hands to him? Just as Pastor Carrie Ann shared with us this morning, that we would have open hands to receive from you. Right now, Lord, we want to receive your peace, your power. So, Lord, would you cover us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet? Lord, we want to be filled with your Spirit. Lord, whether it is walking to the voting poll booth or walking to the ballot drop-off, or whether it's on social media on Monday and Tuesday, and especially on Wednesday, God, would you fill your church with your Spirit that we may walk with confidence, walk with love, walk with hope for the future? God, we want to receive those things from you. We can't create them for ourselves. We have to receive them as the gift that they are from you. So, Lord, would you help us receive that? Would you help us receive that from you today? I encourage you to just kind of stay in this posture for a moment. Take this time to worship Jesus with your breath. We'll finish up together. Let's worship him. Continue to ask for his Spirit to pour on you and your home and your family in Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. If you would like more information and to stay connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. And remember, you are loved.